Please, let's turn to Romans chapter 5. And to verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And our subject for today is the fall of man and the tragedy of life without God. The tragedy of life without God. I think we live in a world now, so many attempts have been made to correct the wrongs in the society. People are using so many ideologies. Since man neglected the rule of God, people are using so many means to correct the wrongs. I will explain this later. So now let's go to the fall of man, the beginning, the Genesis of all these things, which is found in the account we read, Genesis chapter 3. So beginning from verse 1, we see the first speech of the serpent. So the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? See the subtle way he put it. And then verses 2 and 3, here we see the woman misquoting chapter 2, verse 17. He said, and the woman said, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. See, from chapter 4, we see the first lie of the enemy. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Chapter 5, we see Satan's reflection on God's character. He said, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Chapter 5, we see his temptation. See, ye shall be as gods. That is how he tempted them, that they shall be as gods, in chapter 5. Verse 5. In verse 6, we see the progress in yielding to the temptation. She ate and gave. And when the woman saw, she took and did eat and gave also to her husband. Now, verse 7, we see the opening of their eyes, which is shame. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Verse 8, we see the separation from God, the separation of Adam and Eve from God. It said, and they heard the voice of the Lord God, and hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. From verse 9, we see that God is always the seeker. Without God, we can never come to him. He always seeks us. So he said, and the Lord called unto Adam. Adam and Eve were hiding. They couldn't come to God. God had to call them and said unto him, where art thou? Now their conscience were awakened. Verse 10. He said, I was afraid. See, the fear follows sin. Because of the sin, he said he was afraid. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Verse 11, we see the excuses. When we sin, people always give excuses for their sin. Oh, because of his background, because of his parents, because of his education, people are always giving excuses for their sins. And this is where it started from. There's always an attempt to cover sin. The man said, the woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave me the tree. Now, the man is putting the blame on the woman, and I did it. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, like deceived me, and I did it. So now, the woman is also putting the blame on the serpent. Now, from verse 14 to 19, we see the sentence, what God said unto them. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, thou art cursed. Unto the woman he said, I will multiply thy sorrows. That was the curse on them. That is why we see all what we are seeing in the world now. That's how we have to labor hard before even we can eat. Look at what he said to the ground. He cursed the ground, verse 17 to 19. And unto Adam he said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Thorns, also the thistles, shall it bring forth to thee. And then from verse 19, we see how man was condemned to sweat and die. In this world, you labor for nothing. You labor and labor and labor, and in the end, you die. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Verse 21, we see how God clothed the guilty man. Unto Adam and his wife did God make coats of skin and clothe them. And then from 22 to 24, we see how man was driven from the Garden of Eden. And the Lord said, and the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Now, in this account, there are so many things that we can learn, but that is not our subject. So I will just mention that verse 15 is where the first gospel was preached. Some people say the gospel is only in the New Testament. It can't be true. This is where the first gospel was preached. It said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We know that all this refers to the devil and Christ. But that's not our subject. Otherwise, we could explain all of them. Now, what lessons do we learn from this passage? There are so many lessons, like I said. The first lesson we learn is that Adam was a historical character. He was a human being who actually lived. There are so many arguments. People are saying that it's just a figure. But from this account, we can see that Adam was a historical character. And we can believe in this because of the following facts which confirm his character. From the account, we learn that he acts. He speaks and lives as an individual. In this account, we learn that he acts, he speaks, and he was living as a human being. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 3 to 4, even his age is given. Because they said that at the birth of Seth was 130 years, and at death he was 930 years. So you see that his age is given, the time he died is also given, which confirms that he was a man that who actually lived. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, he is spoken of as the one who sinned, through him that sin came into this world. We can see the same thing in Luke chapter 3, verse 38. When it was talking about the genealogy of Christ, he's mentioned there as the source is from him. We can't read it, but we can put it down and later on go through. So if Adam and his sin were just symbols, then there will be no need for an atonement. If it was just symbol but not a man who actually died and we have followed him, then there will be no need for an atonement. The atonement will also be a symbol. It wouldn't be something that really happened, that Christ came to die and save us from our sins. And it wouldn't be even necessary. It will also be like a fable. And if Adam's account is just symbolic, then Christ is also symbolic, like I said. Then there will be no true forgiveness. It means the forgiveness too will be a symbol. What Christ has done for us on the cross will also be a symbol. But if that is the case, then where did sin come from? If we are saying that Adam was not a human being who lived and sinned, and we have inherited his sin, then where did sin come from? If it wasn't the result of Adam's sin, and we have followed it, then where will it come from? Then it will be as if sin was there already, before God created. Sin was there, so Adam too came with the sin. But from what we read, we knew that Adam wasn't created a sinful person. It's after he has sinned that God drove him from the garden, and we, all of us, have become part of his disobedience. The second part that exhibits the significance of this Adam's account is also found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. Let's turn there to 1 Corinthians 15, chapter, verses 15 and 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So it is Adam, a man who lived and sinned, and we have become part of the sin. Because if you plant cocoa, you get cocoa. If you plant mango, you get mango. You can't plant cocoa and get mango. So once we have come from Adam, we have inherited Adam's sin, and that is why we are also sinful. You can also find it from verse 45 to 49. We can't turn them because of time. 45 to 49. That is why Adam said, through one man, sin entered and death. And then that is why Christ is even referred to as the second Adam. Through Christ, our sins are forgiven us and we have life. Through Adam, we have death. Through Christ, we have life. And in Adam, we all die, like I said, which means everyone who is associated with him as their federal head or their forefathers will partake of his fallen nature, the law of sin and death. We partake it and we inherit it by birth from him. What are the consequences of this inheritance, the sin that we inherited? What are the people take sin so light. People take sin as if it's nothing. But like yesterday, I was saying at the conference, if you sit down and look at what God had to do to atone for sin, to send his only begotten son to come and die, death that he could have avoided, but he allowed Christ to go through as the only means that our sins can be forgiven us, it tells you how ugly sin is. And how serious God hates sin. It has to take Christ, the sinless person, to come and die. Not any human being, not any angel, to come and die before our sins are forgiven us. You have to be very careful when you talk about sin. You should know how ugly sin is and how dreadful it is. Now we see how subtle sin is. Like I'm saying, people take sin to be nothing. Oh, I just did something, it's not anything. But if you look at the holiness of God, yesterday that's what we were learning, the holiness of God, which not even a small sin can approach God, then you know that sin is a very serious thing. And it's so subtle, as we saw in the account, he said he was deceived. We are deceived to sin. We are always deceived to sin. We take it so light, so we sin without thinking the seriousness of it. And also it's self-will. See, it became independence of God. And that is why we are suffering from this world, because of this one sin. One disobedience. It's not like they committed so many sins. Only once. Don't do this, and they did it. And that is the cause of all what we are going through now. It became independence of God from verse 5. Then we can see the shame. It's shame. They found that they were naked, and they were giving excuses. The shame of sin and the excuses that follow. We also see its sting, the sting of sin, which is death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. The sting of death, of sin, is death. We are all dying because of sin. Then we can also see its sorrow, how sorrowful sin is. All men are involved. Is it not sad? Even if you haven't done anything, because we are born in Adam, You are part of the punishment. You are part of the sentence. So it is a very sorrowful thing. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. That's why I just read to you. All men have been deceived and fallen into this condemnation. Let me just give a summary of this account from verse 8 to 24, as I just said. It describes the consequences of man's rebellion against God after falling into temptation from the serpent, and humans are ashamed and foolishly we attempt to hide from God. People are using so many means to cleanse themselves from sin apart from what God has said, and people are always, like I said, attempting to shift blames to others. Adam even blamed God. He said, "The woman you gave me." So he's even blaming God, that God gave him the woman for the woman to be tempted by the serpent. So he was blaming God. But then, we also learned that God issued three individual curses which affect humanity up to today. When God created man and everything, he said it was very good. Can we say that to us today now? Can we say we are very good? No. And we also learned that they were banished from the garden, which means not until your sins are forgiven you and you are cleansed, you are banished from the presence of God. So in effect, the serpent was saying that God knows right from wrong and he is righteous. If you learn right from wrong, you also be like God. That is exactly what the serpent was trying to tell Adam and Eve. And he was able to tempt them. He was able to achieve what he wanted to do. So Adam and Eve, they were confronted with the life and death situation, to take a decision that leads to either life or death. About whom to believe. To believe in God who has said that you will surely die, or the serpent who said that you will surely not die. And unfortunately, they believed the devil. And he committed this grievous sin against God. Because God had placed a significant instinct within Adam and Eve, and they faced life and death, they faced the choice of life and death, they would have been completely convinced of the wisdom of their choice. Despite God's warning of death, Adam and Eve believed the serpent instead of Satan. They disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit. So what do you think convinced them that they will not die? It's all because they believe the devil, and they believe that the fruit will give them two kinds of power. What they believe, that the power to produce their own righteousness, and also the power to tempt others, preventing them from being righteous. The devil thought, once I get Adam, I have the whole of mankind. Which is true, isn't it? Once you get Adam, all his people that will come after him will be sinful, and therefore he will become king over them, trying to dethrone God. He didn't know that God has a master plan. God has a way that he could send Christ to come and reverse the whole situation. So he thought by just getting to him, that was the end. Adam and Eve believed that God would not be able to condemn them, because they will be able to achieve a degree of morality, which is what I was talking to you about. People think, oh, as for me, I do some small things, but I'm not so bad. Even though I commit a bit of sins, I know God will consider me. No. Disobedience is a sin against God. And once you do it, you are banned from God, because God is holy, holy, holy. You can't be 98% righteous, and you have to be 100%, which no human being can attain. Now, by disobeying him, Adam and Eve became different from God, as it is possible to become. Because when they disobeyed God, then a spirit of sin entered into them and possessed their bodies. Because they believed in the devil and acted the way they acted, a spirit of sin entered into them and possessed their bodies. And this spirit of sin is Satan's counterpart to the Holy Spirit. Instead of the Holy Spirit filling them, they were filled with the spirit of sin. So Adam and Eve became indwelt by sin and came to be possessed by evil in its most potent form. And since then, we have what we call salvation by works. And that is what they were trying to do. They went to hide themselves. They sold some things to cover their shame. But God had to cover them with the right apron. And that is what we are seeing in the world now. And all through the Bible, people think they can achieve morality, not as seen in the Bible, but on their own, which is what the Bible refers to as salvation by works, or works of the law, which no human being can satisfy God if we were to follow the law. And God has said that such efforts are fruitless. There's no way anybody can achieve righteousness by his own works without relying on the atoning death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because when they saw that they were naked, they saw fig leaves. They were trying to deal with the moral issue by making those clothes for themselves. And that is what we are all doing. Everybody is trying to please God. That if you do this, and there's nobody that I've spoken to, a few people that will say, as for me, I don't even know where I'm going. People say, oh, because I'm kind, I do this, I do that, because of that, I'll go to heaven. Nobody thinks that it has to take the grace of God to go to where God is. But God said that there's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. And in Isaiah 64, verse 6, he said, but we all are an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags, in Isaiah verse 46. And even Apostle himself, Apostle Paul, before he became a Christian, he followed the same path, followed the same mistake. Look at what he said in Romans 9, verse 30 to 33. So what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by works of the law. And he said, for they stumble at that stumbling stone. People stumble at the stumbling stone. The stumbling stone is Christ. It is only through him that we can have our sins forgiven. It is only through him, his righteousness, which should be imputed into us. Otherwise, there's nothing we can do to please God. Today, the world we live in now is everybody wants to do the right thing. Nobody is coming to God by grace or by faith. Everybody wants to do something. Because that is what is sitting in this world. We do something to earn something. And we think we can have the same thing to do with God. Some wants to restore the earth and its environment, what is happening now, through so many ways. And people are also trying to solve the economic problem here. Every country that you go to, oh, we'll do this and we'll bridge the gap between the poor and the rich. For how many thousands of years now? What have they been able to do? It is still there. Because people are always trying to solve problems in our own way. People are seeking world peace through international unity. They are proposing these ideas and that ideas and that ideas. And all of them are doing that without God. Everybody is trying to solve a problem. Even churches are following them. They have joined such efforts, like trying to do good to please God. Now, when you go to any church, you don't hear of this salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. People think they must always do something, and that is the source from Adam and Eve. They thought they had to cover themselves, hiding from God. But you can't hide from God. What God has said will always come to pass. And like I said, all these groups who try to solve world's problem by different ideologies, one thing is that they trust their own knowledge and never trust God. And this is what we are seeing in our world. So we can see that just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So sin spread throughout all men. Romans 5 verse 12. And the effects of the fall are numerous. What the consequences of the fall of man are numerous, and we are going to go through a few of them. First, that mankind was separated from God. Like I said, in the Garden of Eden, before the fall, they had communion and fellowship with God until they rebelled against Him. And then the fellowship was breaking. See, they became aware of their sin and they were ashamed before Him. In the verse 8 to 10, they hid from Him. And man has been hiding from God ever since. We can't come to God on His own terms. We want to come to God on our own terms. But it's only through Christ that that fellowship can be restored. Because in Him, we are made as righteous and sinless in God's eyes. Like I said, it is only Christ who never sinned. So God will only accept you if you become like Christ. If you become as righteous as Christ. That's the standard that God requires. So if any man thinks that he can get to that standard on their own, it's amazing how people think they can attain to Christ's standard. And come to think of it, God says, because you cannot attain to that, I'm giving it to you freely. Christ is imputing His righteousness unto you. Just believe in Him and commit your life to Him. And then when you appear before God, God sees you as Christ. And yet, man wants to come to God on their own sin, because it's only Christ who had no sin. There was no sin in Him. And if we believe in Him, He gives us that His sinless nature, which we shall take, we shall go and appear before God in His nature. To be separated from God is a very great disaster. Let's look at creation. When God created the fish, He spoke to the sea, and then fish came. When you're creating the trees, He spoke to the earth, and we saw trees coming up. And when He came to man, what did He say? He said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. When He came to man, that was how we were created. So now, if you take fish out of the sea, what will happen? You take fish from the sea for even some few minutes, the fish will die, isn't it? The same way, we take the tree from the ground and let the sun shine for some few minutes, the tree will die. So what about you, man? It is the same thing. If you are disconnected from God, you die. That is what God meant. That the day you do this, it means because you have become sinful and I'm holy, 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 you can't come near me again. So I've taken you out of myself, and then you will die because there's no grounds. The same way as the fish and the tree didn't have grounds and they die. The same way, if you are separated from God, you die because He is our natural environment. As the sea and the ground are natural environment for the fish and the trees, we have God as our natural environment. We were created to live in His presence. So we must always be connected to Him, because only in Him there is life. So because of the fall, death became a reality for us. And all creation, not just man, all creation. All man must die. All animals must die. All plants, they all die. The Bible says the whole creation groans. Romans 8 verse 22. It says the whole creation groans, waiting for the time when Christ will return to liberate it from the effects of death. Because of sin, like I said, death has become an inescapable. We can't escape it, a reality. And no one is immune. Every human being. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ our Lord. It is in Romans 6 verse 23. And worse still, we don't just die physically. If we die without Christ, we experience eternal death. We die physically here. If we have Christ, fine. As for death in this world, we all face it. But if you have Christ, you die and you go to where Christ is. If you are without Christ, then you are going to experience eternal death in hell. The second effect of the fall is humans have lost sight of the purpose for which they were created. I'm sure even if you ask any of our Sunday school students what are the purpose of God creating us, they will be able to tell you. It's to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Romans 11 verse 36, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31, Psalm 86 verse 9. Hence, love to God is the core of all morality and goodness. No one can lead lives that will be pleasing to God without Him. The opposite rather is the choice. Like, if you will live without God, then you are living to yourself. Self now becomes supreme. You are yourself. You are the main boss. And that is what we are seeing, the selfishness in the world now. It is all as a result of the fall. And all other crimes against God, it all stems out of this, our rebellion against God. And that is why in all things we are turning to ourselves. The life we live, everything is about me. You think of yourself. Nobody thinks about God. Even when people go to church, they go to church for what God can give them, not what they can do to God. They just come and pray that God will give them this, but not what they can give to God. So we have become so selfish. And selfishness is a very serious sin. And like I said, we seek favors and opportunities from God, but we don't commit ourselves to serving Him. We don't want to make sure that we are linked to Him all the time. All our lives, we are close to Him. In short, we place ourselves upon the throne of our lives, neglecting or despising God's rule. Once you do this, then you are trusting in yourself. You are no more trusting in God's rule. The one who has created you, your source of life, you neglect it, and you are trusting in your own self. When Adam and Eve rebelled against their creator, they lost their innocence. They incurred the penalty of physical and spiritual death. Their minds were darkened by sin, and we have all inherited that same thing. So not until you come to Christ, you are in darkness. That is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1 verse 28. He was talking about pagans. He says, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind. That's what we are learning about, the depravity of man in our Wednesday evening studies. We are depraved because of our sin. When we say you are depraved, you are like a dead person, a dead body. You can't do anything. You can't see anything. Even when you are sinning, you can't even see it. And he told the Corinthians, Apostle Paul, he said, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Our minds, our eyes, everything is darkened because of sin. But what did Christ say in 2 Corinthians 4? He said, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me shall stay in darkness. John 12:46. He has come as a light so that whoever believes in him will no longer stay in that darkness. The darkness that we were plunged into because of Adam's sin, it is only Christ who can come and take us out of that darkness. Paul also reminded the Ephesians. He said, you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. Say, you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. So we see the purpose of salvation. The purpose of salvation is to open the eyes of unbelievers and turn them from darkness unto light, and from the power of Satan unto the power of God. If you have not been forgiven of your sins, you are under Satan. We always say this. You are under the rule of Satan. You can't say, me, I'm not under God, I'm not under Satan. There are only two places that you can belong to. You can't be in between. If you are not for God, you are for Satan. I remember some charismatic pastor we were talking about the spiritual gifts. You know how they believe in these prophecies and power. He was telling me that he hears God's voice. So I said to him, so then, are you a prophet? He said, no. Then what are you? If you are hearing God's voice, then you are a prophet. Then he said, no, I'm not a prophet, I'm not a prophet. Then what are you? So I said, okay, as far as I know, we don't hear God's voice in these days. People used to hear, the prophets, they used to hear because the Bible was not there. We have the Bible, so we don't hear God's voice again. So if you say you are hearing God's voice, then you are a prophet. And we don't have prophets now. So then he goes on. So where do you think the word is coming from? So I said, I don't know. But I know it's not from God. Whatever it is from, I can't tell you. And he keep bursting and I said, okay, then it's from Satan. And then he got angry. Because I'm telling you, I don't know. And you are forcing me. And I know we have only two powerful spirits. It's either from God or from Satan. So if you are hearing a voice, and the Bible says that we don't hear a voice again, then who are you hearing it from? It's as simple as that. It's from Satan. So if you are not under God, you are under Satan. Acts 26 verse 19. The third point is the fall produced in human a state of depravity. I think I've said this already. A state of depravity. Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. He said, those whose conscience are seared, and see, those whose minds are spiritually darkened as a result of rejecting the truth. Romans 1 verse 21. So in that state, man is not capable of doing anything good. If we choose good and bad, you will choose bad because of your depravity. Because you are in darkness, that is what you can see. You can't see the light. You choose the bad one. So he said the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's power. Neither can he even do it. He can't do it because of the depravity. Like I said, if you are depraved, if you have not been saved, you are dead. What can a dead person do? Or a dead body do? You can't do anything. Without the supernatural regeneration by the Holy Spirit, all men will remain in their fallen state. It is only that is why even when they were hiding there, God had to cover them with the aprons. God has to seek us. We are in a state that we can't even see God. He has to come and awaken you from that death. That is why he said the Holy Spirit will have to regenerate you for you to be able to understand. Otherwise, you will still be in the fallen state. That is by his grace and his loving kindness. That is why God said, send Jesus Christ to come, to die on the cross, to pay for the penalty. Because we were supposed to die and be hanged there. He had to come and do it for us so that our sins could be forgiven us, so that we are reconciled to God. That what we lost at the fall can now be reclaimed at the cross. We fell because of sin in the Garden of Eden. We can reclaim that from the cross by believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the question we should ask ourselves is that, can man live without God? Can man live without God? Some people, the atheists and some other people who believe in other things, they don't think that man cannot live without God. They think that because they see man living, people say, oh, when God says that when Adam and Eve ate, they would die, they didn't die. They think of the, because, but even if you are living in this world, you will die. Nobody, I've never seen anybody who has gone to be 200 years in our time. You would, even if it's 1,000 years, you will die. So it is true, when God says you will die, you will die. Even if you see people living around, it doesn't mean that they won't die. They will die. All the people that we came to meet, our great grandfathers, where are they? They've all gone. Our friends and our loved ones, we see them going. So death is a reality. Don't believe in what people are saying that you can, because you see us living, we can live without God. No. In the same way as God originated human life, to say that man can exist apart from God is to say like this watch you are seeing there, the clock there, is there without anything. But if you see them moving, there are things behind it that make them move. There are engines working there. That's why you see the clock ticking. So to say that this clock is there and nobody made it, it's the same thing like saying that man can exist without God. No. Or say, tell a story. A story can exist without a storyteller. No. If you hear a story, somebody must have told the story and then for you to hear. So we owe our being to the God in whose image we were made. According to Genesis chapter 1 verse 20, we were created in his image. So we owe our existence to him. We depend on God. Whether we know it or not, we depend on God. God makes it rain for both the wicked and the righteous, isn't it? The sunshine to everybody. He is our sustainer. So he continually confessed life in us. According to Psalm 104, verse 10 to 32. It's a long listen, so you can read it for yourself. In John chapter 14, he said, he is life. And all creation is held together by the power of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Even those who reject him, like I said, he keeps them, he sustains them. They breathe every day, isn't it? Where does it come from? If you know how the blood works in our system, how the system works in our body, you see that it is God. Whether you are righteous or you are sinner, he still gives you. So, as the Savior, God gives eternal life to those who believe. He said, in Christ is life, which is the light of men. John 1, verse 4. Jesus came that we may have life and have it to the full. John 10, verse 10. And all who place their trust in him are promised eternity with him. John 3, 15 to 16. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave. Everybody can say this, but do they really understand it? So for a man to truly live, he must know Christ. John 17, verse 3. For you to truly live, you must know Christ. Our time is running. Our fourth point is, without God, man has only a physical life. Without God, we have only a physical life. Because God warned Adam and Eve that on the day they rejected him, they will surely die. As you know, they disobeyed. But they didn't die physically. That's what I'm trying to explain, that we live physically. But without Christ, you have only this physical life. And as soon as you die, it is finished. You go to eternal damnation. Also, without God, man is unfulfilled. Even in his mortal life. Even though you are living mortally, you are never fulfilled until you are linked to your Creator, your source of life and power. Do you know why there's no peace in this world? It's because we don't have peace with God. Because there's no, we don't have peace with our fellow men, because we don't have peace with God. Man is restless. Nobody is satisfied. The rich, the poor, the handsome, the beautiful, nobody is satisfied. Everybody is complaining. Why? Because we are not fulfilled, because we are not linked to our Creator. You can only be fulfilled when you are linked to your Creator, when you are attached to him. Otherwise, no matter the pleasure, people have so much money. I know people who are very, very rich. And when you listen to them, I always say, then maybe I'm better. Because you have all this money, these buildings and so on, and yet you are complaining about this. Then I don't see why even I should also be envying you. You see people who are rich and powerful, and they are not satisfied because we don't have peace with God. What did Solomon say? Solomon, when he talk of knowledge, everything, he had it. But what did he say? He said life is vanity. With all that he had, he said life was vanity. I think I'll go to my last point and then we come to a close. Without God, man's destiny is hell. Without God, your destiny is hell. The man without God is spiritually dead. And when your physical life is over, then you face eternal separation from God. Christ said it in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31 about the rich man and Lazarus. We all know that story, how the rich man was living and then Lazarus was living. In the end, the rich man found himself in hell. Lazarus was in heaven. The rich man now wanted people to come and tell his relatives back home that they should listen to the preachers. But what was he told? They should listen to those who were preaching. Nobody can go from death, come from death to life to warn us. They are supposed to hear it while it is being preached. And that is what we must also do. Life is short. You can die today, you can die tomorrow. The young die, the aged die, even children die. So once you are alive, today may be the day of your salvation. You hear the word today and you take heed. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until you are able to do certain things. Now is the time. There will be a time that you can't hear what we are telling you now. It will be difficult. Even what we are telling you now, people can't hear. A lot of people go to churches and they are deceived. They are not telling them about it. Yesterday we met some American ladies. Even they were complaining. I think they have been to some other churches. They are talking about prosperity and this and this and that. You don't hear the true gospel, as we are telling you now. So if you come here by God's grace and you are hearing this, take it serious. And if you haven't repented, if you haven't fully trusted in God, if you can't say in your heart that when I die today, I will go to heaven, then begin to seek Him. Then there's a problem. And the problem must be solved now, not later. It must be solved now, today, as you are hearing me. You may not know whether you can even see me here again to preach to you. I can also die today or tomorrow. But when we hear it today, make it a point that you turn unto God and have your sins forgiven you. Have you realized your lost estate? Have you realized who you are? That because of sin, you are separated from God and you are walking just like some animal or some goat without any shepherd. That's what you are. If you haven't had your sins forgiven you and you have been reconciled to God, you are just walking in this world, you can fall at any time. The devil can use you anyhow, and in the end, he will dump you. So if you haven't, please make the effort to seek Christ now. Come to Him in any state that you are. Come and seek Him. Ask Him to forgive you, pardon and forgive you of your sins, and reconcile you to God. And once you are in this world, He will take care of you. He said, take courage. I've conquered the world. So what do you fear? Do you fear witchcraft? What do you fear? Why are you going to prayer camps? Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Give your life to Him and let Him control you. He is with you. Every morning when you wake up, you pray, give your life to God. So whatever happens to you, He has allowed it. And if He allows it, then it's good for you. Otherwise, you are living in a world without any shepherd, and you end up in death, and it will be death in eternal damnation. My prayer is that all of you here, if you haven't come to know this, from today, you turn unto God, ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to be reconciled to the Almighty. Let's pray. Our gracious and merciful Father, we thank You for Thy word this morning. We thank You especially for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, His sinless life, which is prepared to impute unto us once we believe in Him. Oh, Heavenly Father, we know that it takes only Your power to draw men to Yourself. So it is our prayer that Thou will touch the heart, that will bless Thy word, that those who hear it will turn unto You, to repent and believe in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to have their sins forgiven them. Oh, Father, come and bless us all in these things. For we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.